On the Colorado State Sports Network, from Learfield, live from CBN Potts, this is the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show, brought to you by Coors Light. Grab an ice-cold Coors Light and a designated driver this game day. And remember that 21 means 21. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Powered by Ford Trucks. Built Ford tough. Also brought to you by Bank of Colorado. There's only one. By UC Health. And by First Bank. Now live, the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show. Here is your host, Brian Roth.
And welcome everybody to CBN Potts. We're in Fort Collins here tonight. It's another edition of the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show. Brian Roth, your host. And welcome to everybody listening up and down the Front Range of Colorado. And then, of course, our great audience here at CBN Potts, another packed house. And can you believe it? We only have one more of these shows left after tonight. So if you wanted to come out, you've been thinking about coming out, make sure to either get over here tonight, although there's not many seats to be had at this point, or certainly join us coming up next week. Happy to be joined by the head football coach at Colorado State, Mr. Mike Bobo. Sir, how are you? Great to see you.
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing well. I know it was a tough one last Saturday up in Laramie against the Cowboys, a 16-13 loss. And we talked before the game about the weather. We thought it was going to be windy. We thought there could be precipitation, but that weather was something I don't think any of us saw coming.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be really windy and kind of gust up to 30 miles an hour. And, you know, the first half, pregame first half was kind of like that. Mm-hmm. And then walked out second half, and I was walking with Joe Cox. I'm like, is that snow? Because we were underneath the stadium and walked outside, and it was coming down pretty good, and I thought it was pretty cool getting to play in a snow game. And it was just one of those games. It was kind of a special game, a unique game. The second half was snow. Really wasn't much wind, but it was snowing pretty good, and turned into kind of an inside drill the second half, and who could make the most plays, and they made a couple more plays than we did.
Yeah, and that's something where I know you guys, we talked about again at the pregame show, saying you kind of have something in the game plan for a little bit of precipitation, if the weather, but I don't think, again, when you see all that snow, I mean, both teams almost had to go exclusively to the run in the second half.
Yeah, there wasn't much passing in the second half. It was really, couldn't get any footing, really, either team. It was kind of turned into an inside drill. Running between the tackles. A couple times we tried some wide runs, as they did too. And then, you know, kind of the extra dimension there was their quarterback. The quarterback run there late in the game was kind of the difference.
Yeah, that's, I guess, kind of ironic, isn't it, that Josh Allen, a guy that they're projecting to be a first-round draft pick coming up in next May's draft as an NFL quarterback, and yet he's the difference in the game. As a runner, as a ball carrier?
He's very impressive to me, you know, with his arm strength, you know, but what he can do in the run game. It reminds me of the year that Auburn won the national championship with Cam Newton. We were playing them and playing them pretty close. And then in the second half, they went like 7 for 7 on third downs, and they were all Cam Newton runs, similar type runs that he was doing, quarterback power, quarterback stretch. You couldn't get the big guy down, and very similar with Josh Allen the other night. Those runs and those, it kind of reminded me of that night where we'd get him in a third down and we couldn't tackle the guy.
Yep. And again, he goes 6'5", 240 pounds. He's a big guy. He's a good athlete. I mean, Mike, he came into that game as their second leading rusher, so it's not like that was something new to him. Now, a lot of times he's scrambling and can make plays with his feet, but they were running him on design runs. I want to go back to the snow real quick. And you mentioned earlier this week in your Monday press conference, that was the first time you had ever coached in the snow.
First time. Yeah.
Now, how many times, if ever, had you played in the snow?
Zero.
So Georgia never made a trip to like Notre Dame or up to Penn State or something?
First time they played, you know, west of the Mississippi was this year when they played Notre Dame. He's kind of stayed in the south. So this is year three for me, and I was expecting to have a snow game.
One snow game at least.
But we had it the other night when I wasn't expecting.
But it
was, you know, it was kind of unique. I came outside, and, you know, it's snowing, and I'm out there before the players, and they start coming on for the second half, and then I just Hey, snow game, guys. I've never had one of these. Have you? And they were more than half were like, right. No. So I was kind of trying to fire everybody up. They were about to have some fun in the snow. Just came up a little short.
Yeah, no, I know. I talked to Adam Prentice earlier this week, your fullback. He said he had never played a snow game before, and I guess that's understandable for these guys not to have played. How about on the sidelines? When you guys come out, do you change cleats or anything? How does the equipment work when you come out and all of a sudden there's a full-on snowstorm?
No, I mean, you just have to stay under control. You know, you talk about your body position, staying under control. You take little shorter steps. Make sure you have a good base. The footing wasn't that bad. It was a little bit slick, but it wasn't terrible. But there wasn't any cleats or anything that's going to make a difference, especially when you're playing on turf.
Yeah.
Now everybody talks about changing cleats and all that. That's if you go with longer cleats or something. If you're playing on a grass field, some screw ins or something. But on turf, it doesn't matter.
Right. Again, a tough one for the Rams on Saturday night. They'll try to bounce back. Boise State coming into town this Saturday evening, a late-night kickoff. So make sure to get your nap in on Saturday afternoon and then out to the game, 8:33. Big kickoff. All right, we're just getting started here tonight. CBN Browns football.
Stay with us
here up until 8 o'clock. Great to have everybody with us. Coach's Show tonight brought to you by Bank of Colorado, where CSU is more than just a school. The Rams are more than just our team, and Colorado is more than just our state. It's our state of mind. Bank of Colorado, proud sponsor of the Colorado State Rams. All right, last week in review brought to you by the Bank of Colorado, and 16-13 setback to Wyoming. You know, Mike, I guess you can break down games into 3, 4, 5 plays that you can say those were the deciding factors in the game. We'll talk about a few, but certainly you guys get a turnover up 13-9 late in the game. You get the ball at the 49-yard line about 10 minutes to go. I know that was one of those series I think you probably felt you score there, you were going to be in really good shape.
Well, it's in the fourth quarter. It's one of those games where it was a field position game, and both teams were – getting a couple, good plays here or there, but it was just hard to sustain anything and execute just because of the weather. And then we had turned the ball over, which was great, and then we get a turnover from them, and then we're able to come out and get a first down, after two plays, and then we stall out right there.
Right.
And that, right there was an opportunity for us to at least, get a field goal and go up 7 points, or if you could get a touchdown. A touchdown would have been the difference in the game, but we were not able to. They were able to stiffen their neck and stop us and then take the ball 70 yards and get 6 points on the board, which was the difference in the game.
Yeah, that was their only touchdown in the contest. And really up until that drive, Mike, I thought your defense played a whale of a game. I thought they played a whale of a game overall, but up until that drive, they were special.
Yeah, I thought we played good. We played hard. And I've talked a lot this week and talked to our team. That loss hurt. It hurt for all Ram fans and hurt for a lot of reasons. But, one of the reasons where I thought our team responded well after, which quite frankly was an embarrassing loss to Air Force at home. And they responded. They played their guts out and just came up a little short. It was one of those games that, both teams were playing extremely hard. The weather was a factor. And they were able to make, a couple more plays than we were.
Yeah, and again, the snow, it was a hindrance in the passing game. And you guys come in as one of the best passing offenses in the nation. Wyoming comes in as an offense that had struggled this year. Certainly, in my mind, the snow helped them. But you guys get down all of a sudden 16-13. There's about 4 minutes left in the game. And, boy, I thought the snow picked up. And that's a hard spot for your offense to be in, knowing you need points. And
yeah, but you had an opportunity. You got an opportunity to, you had an opportunity after turnover to get points.
Right.
You got an opportunity to stop them still defensively. You got an opportunity again, the ball in your hands to put a drive together. We don't. We punt it with 2 minutes. And then you got an opportunity to stop them and get the ball back when you got two timeouts, and we didn't. So there's plenty of opportunities in a game that we could have grabbed the momentum or grabbed it and took control of the game and won the ball game. And that's something that we got to figure out. We got to learn how to win these ball games. And it doesn't take extraordinary effort. It just takes, making that play at the crucial part of a game.
Talking to some of your players following the Air Force game, I heard the word anger, frustration a lot. That seemed like to be the prevailing mindset through your team. What was the emotion like in the locker room?
It was a lot of kids that were hurting in there. It was a tough locker room to walk in to because I felt like They came out and played their tails off. They left it on the field. Not that we didn't against Air Force, but I mean, we were emotionally spent that week. You know, it was a lot of preparation that week, getting in, you know, for the boot, the rivalry game, and to go there and then, you know, not be able to finish is disappointing and devastating, because that's something you worked for and you weren't able to achieve that goal. So there were a lot of guys that were hurting in that locker room.
Yeah, and so the conference championship, mathematically, you're still in it, but it might have gone by the wayside there. How do you readjust kind of your expectations going forward now that the mindset isn't conference championship anymore?
Well, you talk about, you know, you have to reset your goals. Mm-hmm. Things happen, and we had a setback, had two setbacks, and we do not control our destiny anymore. That's what I told him. I said, you don't control your destiny. That's out of your control, but what's in your control is playing arguably the best team in the conference, Boise State, at your home place, in front of your fans, and you got an opportunity to learn to get over another hurdle. And you want to try to take your program somewhere. Sometimes you have to learn how to win or get over a hurdle, and here's a hurdle that Colorado State has not gotten over. They have never beaten Boise State.
Right.
So here's an opportunity for us to get ready, go back to work. We got an opportunity to do something we've never done in Colorado State football history. So that was kind of the message this week, and I feel like we've had a good first 3 days.
All right, a couple of individual performances I want to talk about from Wyoming, and then we'll move on to Boise State. How good was Daylon Dawkins on Saturday night? 29 carries, 154. He was tremendous again.
Yeah, Daylon's been awesome in conference play. I think he's leading the conference in rushing and conference play at yards per carry. And we really felt like going into this game with the weather, you know, we didn't know it was going to snow, but we knew it was going to be windy. We knew there was possibly going to be rain. If we could control the ball, and we felt like if he could get it 25 times and we didn't turn the ball over, we were going to win the ball game. You know, he ends up carrying it 29 for 154, and we didn't turn the ball over and still weren't able to win the ball game. But that was, he answered the bell this week, came out and played extremely hard. Again, I say it all the time, he's one of my favorite players, because he's so tough, he's so unselfish, he's such a competitor. You know, he's a guy that we got three more games with him. I'm gonna enjoy every minute that I have him. He's going to touch it a lot, especially with Izzy being out this week.
Yeah, so we'll talk about Izzy in a minute. But, yeah, Dawkins has been so much fun to watch. And, again, I think he's listed maybe 5'9", 180 in the media guy. I'm not so sure he's that big.
He might be 5'8 and a half. He says he's 182 or 183.
Right. But. And I'm telling you, Mike, I mean, he was taking on linebacker, and he does it every game, but just, I remember a couple runs against Wyoming. I mean, he hits the hole, he meets a linebacker in the hole, and is driving the linebacker.
Yeah, first half, back. He was running over guys. Oh. We screwed up a couple blocking schemes and let a linebacker free, and he ran right through the arm tackle of him.
Right.
You know, one time he dipped his shoulder, ran over a guy. He's one of the few guys that made Wingard miss the safety a couple times. He's just an awesome player. He's one of our toughest guys. He's one of our best runners. He's one of our best blockers. He can catch out of the backfield. He does everything for us.
Yeah, and how about this? Dawkins now over 1,000 yards, so he gets his first 1,000-yard rushing season, which is tremendous for Daylon. It's really the offensive line, Adam Prentice. I mean, it's a group effort, obviously. But Daylon Dawkins, only the sixth player in the history of Colorado State to lead the team in rushing for three straight years. So he has been really a stalwart Ram. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll start looking forward to the big game against Boise State coming up on Saturday night. Stay with us here at CBN Potts and on the Colorado State Sports Network from Learfield.
To use his hands and his leverage. Yep. So. It's one of Adam's, you know, Adam's only going to continue to do more things for us. He's one of our best special teams players. He'll end up being the captain of this football team one day.
Yeah, but I asked him earlier today if he and Toby McBride have ever thrown down in the locker room and have grappled. You mentioned Toby, a three-time state champ here in Colorado. He goes, no, not yet. And then he just kind of smiled. So who knows? I'm sure the head coach doesn't want to see that at all, especially with Toby's back. All right. We'll take another timeout. More to come here tonight about the midway point of the Mike Bobo Coaches Show. Stay with us on the Colorado State Sports Network from Learfield. All right, a couple more segments left as we bring you back into CBN Potts in Fort Collins tonight. The Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show. Great to have everybody aboard with us here this evening. The show tonight brought to you by Root Sports and AT&T Rocky Mountain. Don't forget, you can catch Coach Mike Bobo and volleyball coach Tom Hilbert. Rams report every Thursday night at 6:30. AT&T Rocky Mountain, the show complete with player interviews, recaps, and previews. Got a rowdy crowd out here tonight, Mike, don't we?
I think it's impressive. I had, you know, Terry DeZayow, Tom Ellers, Paul Kirk, Joe Parker's here. We had a lot of support from administration. I didn't think anybody'd show up, but I do appreciate everybody showing up tonight.
All right, we appreciate it, too. This might be our biggest crowd.
Biggest crowd. Makes me feel a little better. I was a little down. I've been down in the dumps all week. I'm fired up, ready to go now.
You know, I guess that leads me into this question. What is it like for a head football coach? I mean, that's a tough loss on Saturday night. What is it like when you go home on Saturday night to see the family? You just hug the kids right away, or how does that work?
Well, I saw that they actually went to the game.
They were all at the game.
And then when I walked out of the locker room, you know, thinking that it's the worst day of my life. I got my three girls run up, give me a hug. Makes you feel a little bit better.
A little bit, yeah.
Then you get on the bus and you drive home. We had to drive home about 30 miles an hour because of the snow.
Yeah.
And you replay the whole game. And so it takes a while. Then I see them in the morning. But when I go to work, it's tough. But you got to, it's a game. You know, and it's something we're all invested in.
Right.
You know, it's very important, not just to me, not just to our players. Not just to our university, it's important to our fan base, and it's something that we want to win, and we want to win bad for everybody involved in Colorado State. So when you throw everything out there, and you pour everything, you know, week in and week out, and you don't get the result on Saturday, it hurts, you know. But at the same time, you know, things like that are going to happen all the time. You got to regroup, you got to get up, you got to wake up in the morning, and you got to go back to work. And you know, one of my players asked me. When I first got here, he was like, "Where, coach, where do you want to be in 5 years? Where do you want to be in 10 years? And I said, the only thing I care about is that my kids know what it means to go to work and work hard, no matter what happens. You know, if things are going good or things aren't going great, daddy's going to get up, he's going to go to work because that's his job. I want them to learn work ethic. And the same thing with my players, how you respond, how you go back to work, whether everybody's telling you how great you are or if everybody thinks you're the worst coach or the worst team in America, We got a responsibility to get up and go back to work. And, you know, that's been the message this week. We got a great opportunity. We get a chance to play for each other. We get a chance to play for our university. And I'm excited about it. Another chance to compete.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun coming up on Saturday night. All right, let's go to Twitter. And if you have a question for the coach, hit us up, CSU Rams Radio. Or you can hit me up at Brian H. Roth on Twitter. And this one comes from Jeff. Coach, do you have to motivate the guys a little bit more coming off a couple of losses to your rivals? Is it about trying to get these guys up for this big game on Saturday night?
No, we shouldn't have to motivate anybody this week. Obviously, we don't control our own destiny, and that goal of ours is out of our control. But we got, like I said at the beginning, we got an opportunity to play Boise State at home, a team we've never beaten before. I think our guys are excited, and you know, that's part of what I wanted to build here, too, was obviously we want to be competing for championships and playing for championships. That's number one. But the second thing is I want a competitive culture that no matter any circumstance, if that ball's down, whether it's snowing, whether it's raining, whether it's blowing wind 25 miles an hour, or whether it's 100 degrees first at 12 o'clock, first game of the year, right, we're going to compete.
Right.
And that's what I expect on Saturday.
All right, here's a question from Joe. Going back to the game in Laramie, is it more difficult for the offensive or defensive players in the weather you faced in Wyoming?
Well, it's difficult for both because of footing, but I would say offensively because more than half of your game plan is pretty much gone. It was really gone for both teams, not just us, but for Wyoming. They like to spread it around. They like to throw the ball downfield with his arm, and it basically turned into an inside drill.
Yeah, he only threw it four times in the second
half.
And
I think what they throw it, three or four as well. It was just one of those games. So I think it was just, you know, your vertical passing threat game, you know, being able to utilize some of our speed was non-existent. It became, you know, a phone booth game. You know, we're all in a phone booth, and here we come. And we didn't shy away from that. I think we're built for that, too, and we're able to run the ball effectively. They just, you know, they were able to finish the drive, and we weren't, was the difference in the ball game.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys end up running for 235 yards in that game. I imagine at the start of the day, he said, hey, Mike, you guys are going to run for 235 tonight, you probably would have felt good. Now, of course,
I thought we'd have thrown more for than 110.
110, right? Yeah.
But to rush for 200, I thought we had to do that.
Yeah.
To win this ball game, I thought we had to hand the ball to Dawkins. I thought we had to be physical. And you know, the plan was kind of, it was coming together. You know, we didn't have the passing aspect of the plan, but it was coming together. You know, in one of the game that the kind of game we wanted to have, and we just were not able to finish on either side of the ball.
Going into the Boise State game, and you talk about the running game, this is a Boise State team that has won five straight. They're obviously confident after kind of a slow start. They lost two non-conference games, and of course the sky was falling for the fans up there in Boise. They've turned it around, but they've been really riding that defense for the entire – that defense is really, really good, aren't they?
I think they're very, very impressive. Like last week, I thought Wyoming's defense was impressive. When you turn on the tape between – Wyoming and Boise State, the game they played earlier this year, it was two great defenses playing against each other. It was a low-scoring game. And Boise State's defense is just an impressive 3-4 defense. They've got linebacker Vanderesh, is that right?
Vanderesh.
Vanderesh, number 38, a former, right. former walk-on. You know, yep. Kind of like Adam Prentice.
Yep. He's up for that Burlesworth Award,
I mean,
too.
Just an unbelievable player. He's about 6'4", 240. He's a great player. They have their secondaries of strength as well. I've got two corners that can cover. They've got two safeties that are aggressive. The Pierce safety, his daddy, Antonio Pierce, played in the league for a long time. DeAndre is a guy we recruited as an outstanding player. They play great team defense, got a good front, do multiple things. There's going to be a tough challenge for us offensively to move the ball against their defense. They play great defense against everybody that they played. And then offensively, they're starting to find their rhythm again. I thought they, you know, were a little bit, you know, they weren't in rhythm as the season began, but they found their rhythm. They've got a little confidence now. They've got two quarterbacks that can play. They got a running back that's starting to feel his groove. And then they got a receiver, Cedric Wilson, that I think he's as good as anybody in the conference, and that includes our guy, Michael Gallup.
Right, absolutely. One more question from Joey. He said, is Boise a defense where you can take advantage of their defensive backs? Joe says they're undersized. You have a couple big wide receivers in Jackson and Gallup.
Well, one, their safety, Pierce, is, you know, it's not that big. He's 175 pounds, but he's one of their best tacklers and one of their best cover guys. Tyler Hall, I believe, 14.
Right.
Their corner has some length and has some size. He's not a smaller corner. So they have some big, big secondary guys. They're not afraid to play man-to-man. You watch them. They play a lot of single high. They get a guy in the box because they have confidence in their secondary.
Yeah, Tyler Horton.
Tyler Horton.
The Hall kid was
from
last
Fresno.
Week.
From yeah. Fresno area, yeah.
That's right. And Horton was a preseason All-Mountain West Conference player. As was David Moa, too.
Yeah, 55. Yeah, he's a great player. They got good players on their defense. They play team defense. I mean, if you look at their scores, they really played well defensively in all games except for the Virginia game, and Virginia completed some passes on them. They had a couple turnovers that kind of got away in the second half. The Washington State score was kind of a little bit misleading because the turnovers they had on offense. Their defense has been playing outstanding all year.
What'd you think of that Washington State game? They were up 31-10 in the fourth quarter on the road at Washington State. And, of course, we all know Washington State is a pretty darn good football team. I mean, to blow a lead like that,
I say it all the time to my team is you keep playing. You know, the game's never over. You just continue to play. You never know what's going to happen. They got a couple score. They got a score. They get a stop. Then they get a turnover. Then they get a pick six. Next thing you know, it's a one score game, and then Washington State goes down and scores and ties it up. And I think they went in overtime, right? And Washington State ended up winning. So it's one of those things. Sometimes you can relax offensively, and you don't really relax by your play calls or something like that. But maybe you're not as don't have the same urgency, maybe. And think and maybe relax defensively and think, you know, and the next thing you know, it's a quick score or you're careless with the ball. But it was a game that they were in control of.
In control.
I mean, this team easily could be, you know.
It could be 8-1.
8-1.
Right?
Yep. 8-1. And yep. The Virginia game was a close game at halftime. And then they made some plays. And I think Boise tried to fake a punt in their own territory. It backfired. Next thing you know, it got a two-score game. And Virginia kind of had some momentum, which Virginia's a good team as well.
Yeah, they are, and that's I don't know what Virginia was supposed to be coming into the season. I don't follow Cavalier football that close, but you look at what they've done now, nine games into the year, and you have a pretty good idea.
Six and three,
and you know, still somewhat in that ACC race that is wide open with Florida State. having a Florida
U's,
State.
The
like,
U's going to win the ACC. Mark Richt and company.
I know. That's right. That's right. Your former boss, Mark Richt, is having a great season. They're still undefeated down there.
Got a big one this week. Play Notre Dame.
And so this will decide if they are really national championship caliber, I guess, right, going up against Notre Dame. But again, to go back to Virginia, that's a good football team. So Boise State could be 8-1 right now. And welcome back one final time here tonight from CBN Potts. We're in Fort Collins, the Coors Line. Mike Bobo, Coach's Show.
We'll be back talking
about
the Broncos
coming up on Saturday evening from sunny Lubbock Field. 8:33 is going to be the kickoff of that one. And again, big crowd expected for the contest, almost sold out, and hoping to see everybody out there on Saturday night. All right, Mike, a couple more minutes left with you. Listen, I was going to do the rest of the show with the helmet on, but our producer Bob said it wasn't going to work, and I looked silly in it. But those things are good-looking. The Rams going with the state pride uniforms coming up against Boise State. What are the coach's thoughts on the uniforms? You like them? Coach doesn't care, does he?
I love them.
Coach,
we get a chance to represent our state, you know, state pride. We're from, we're all in Colorado right now. We're all Coloradans. How do I say it? Is that right?
Coloradans, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it. I hope we play well. That's what I hope.
Yeah, the coach, we the can coach look, is more worried we, about blocking and tackling.
That's what I'm worried about. Yes.
Yeah. What are the players?
They're excited, aren't they? Yeah, they're excited. They were showing me the bottom of their shoes that have the horse tooth mountains and the A in it. So there's a lot of detail to the uniform, and I think our kids are taking a lot of pride in it. They need to take pride in their play on Saturday, too, though.
That's right. The uniforms, though, look great, and a big tip of the cap to Under Armour for what they were able to do. And I know Joe Parker's in here with us tonight. It was one of the stipulations. Joe was talking to them, said, hey, we want an alternate uniform, and the folks at Under Armour, along with the folks at Colorado State, put together these state pride uniforms, and I think they're terrific. Everybody I've talked to absolutely loves them. The Rams are going to look sharp coming up on Saturday night.
Jay has a jersey on right there. Everybody see Jay?
Yeah, Jay, let's stand up, Jay.
Yeah, stand up, Jay.
Hey, Jay, come over and
put the helmet on.
Put the helmet on too, Jay. Okay, those are so the Rams are going to be wearing all white. Yeah, I know. You got to take care of that hair, don't you, Jay?
All right, he's still mad Detroit Lions beat his Packers. Stafford.
Yeah, all of a sudden, your former guy. Oh, nice. Your former guy, Matt Stafford, having a
He's been playing well the last few years. And he got some running game behind him, but he's an unbelievable talent.
Well, you talk about big arms.
He's got a big arm.
Yeah, no question about that. Okay. This is a Boise State offense that is starting to get going, but they're doing it with two quarterbacks. And tell me how unique of a situation this is, Mike, because you're bringing back an all-conference kid, a three-year starter in Brett Rippon. Then you get a graduate transfer from Kansas in Cozart who's eligible immediately, and they're both playing. They're both playing a lot, and it seems to be working.
Well, first of all, you can't say enough about the two kids that they can make this work, what type of kids they are. Brett Rippon. I think he was all-conference player of the year. Was he offensive player of the year last year?
Offensive player of the year, yeah.
And just, you know, to be able to work with Cozart and trust his coaches and the success they're having right now is because of the way he's handled the situation and the way those two work together. And it's made them even harder to defend. And Cozart's a kid that, you know, left Kansas, right? Was it Kansas?
Got out of Lawrence.
And he said, you know, just reading, he wanted to go somewhere where he could, you know, compete for a championship, and he chose
Which wasn't
Boise.
Lawrence.
He chose. I'm not saying anything negative about his school. You are. All right, he chose Boise.
They're awful.
He knew that they had a Mountain West Conference Player of the Year,
right?
And he just wanted to go be part of something. So that says something to me about that kid as well. That, you know, he just wanted to be a good teammate and be a part of something, a program that was winning. And I think that's why them two have gelled together. And they're really playing good football right now.
You know, I think your fans are going to be treated to an entertaining game Saturday night, but you're going to be treated to seeing two of the best wide receivers in the conference, in my mind. Now, obviously, they won't be on the field at the same time, but you have Michael Gallup, obviously, who we all know, Colorado State. They have a very good one in Cedric Wilson, a JC kid, came in last year, put up big numbers, and he's doing it again this year.
He's an unbelievable player. Cedric, fortunately, we didn't have to play against Cedric last year. He had an ankle.
Yeah.
Might have played a play or two. But
I think he was in there early.
Early, right? And didn't play. But he has length. He has speed. He has short area quickness. He is their deep ball threat. Coach Terry Fair, our defensive back coach, actually played with his dad at the University of Tennessee, who was a receiver, Cedric as well. I played against him in college. Good player.
Yeah, and then they have a very good running back in Alexander Madison. They seem to have good running backs come in year by year because they had McNichols last season. He goes on, and the Madison kid has kind of picked up.
McNichols was a do-everything guy. You know, he didn't look like he was going to could run that fast or break that, and he'd outrun everybody. He'd break tackles. He could catch balls out of the backfield. And then Madison, I think, is starting to get his groove. I think he was trying to feel things out early in the year, but I think he's running exceptionally well right now. He shows the ability to run between the tackles and bounce outside.
All right, a couple final thoughts. So tell me, you know, you guys haven't beaten Boise. They've been the class of the Mountain West Conference. I mean, they have since they joined the conference 7 years ago. What would a victory over Boise State mean for your football program?
Well, I mean, it's something that we haven't done. I was asked that question today. You know, is this a win that could, you know, change your program's history? I say you don't know, you know, but it is a hurdle that we haven't accomplished here or jumped here as at Colorado State. And if we can get over this hurdle, you know, we might be able to look back and say, hey, getting over that hurdle, beating Boise, was what jump started our program. And mm-hmm. we got to learn how to win these football games and learn how to win, you know, these matchups. And these are one of them that we got an opportunity Saturday at 8:30. Here's another opportunity for our team and our program to go try to get it done.
Is the 0-6 mark against Boise something you talked to the kids about today?
No, I told them on Monday.
Okay.
You know, I told them what's in front of us and told them, you know, it's an opportunity that's something we haven't been done. I said, does anybody know what that is? Not many people did. I said, we've never beaten Boise here at this university. That includes me. That includes you guys. So we got an opportunity this week.
All right, you could be wearing the blue tonight or the tomorrow.
I don't know. I don't know
orange?
I don't know yet.
Right?
I mean, I've changed so many. I don't have a good luck charm right now. I'm running out of them.
Well, we're going to have to get Mike a new good luck charm. We'll talk to Chris Young, the equipment guy.
I don't know what they're putting in my locker, whether I'm going to wear blue. If Harson's wearing blue, I might not wear blue.
Yeah, that's right. Brian Harson, the coach for Boise State. Mike, thanks so much. Best of luck coming up on Saturday.
Thank you.
All right, head coach Mike Bobo. Thank you to everybody showing up here tonight. CB and Potts. One more show coming up next Wednesday night for the entire crew. Brian Roth saying so long and thanks for listening to the Colorado State Sports Network from Learfield.